It's good to see a couple new faces out there. Sorry I didn't get a chance to say hi to you earlier, but we're sure glad you're here. Let's turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. We're just going to start with verse 1. It says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there camped Israel before the mount. And Moses went up unto God. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. Please help me bring honor and glory to your message. May I deliver it as you see fit. And may our hearts receive it the way it should be received. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the children of Israel, Now the children of Israel had come a long way, and God had seen them through many struggles. But now God had some things he wanted to tell them. And the first thing we see that he wants to tell them is the condition. It says in verse 4, talking to the children of Israel through Moses, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. The first thing he does here is he says, he reminds them of what he has done for them in the past. He says, you have seen what I have done. Notice, he didn't just say, I did this. He said, you have seen I have done this. How many times? There are things that God does for us that we don't see. But there are also things that God does for us that we do see. And we have seen the things that God has done. Just like Israel has seen. They saw that when Egypt followed, they didn't follow far. That water closed in. They couldn't follow anymore. Not only that, remember, they saw the plagues. Everything that God did to ensure, well, God could have brought them out at any point. But he did it to prove that he was more powerful than the so-called gods of Egypt, didn't he? You have seen what I did. Verse 5 says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Here's the condition, isn't it? He doesn't tell them point blank, this is what I'm going to do for you. He doesn't tell them that. Now, there are some things that God just does. When it rains, it just rains. God's the one that started the process. But there are some things that if we want God's blessing, we got to do something. And here he tells them, if you will obey my voice, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He tells them that I want to use you. But there's a gigantic two-letter word in the middle of all of it. If you obey me. Folks, God wants to use us and will use us if we obey Him. If we want the blessing of God, then we have to obey the command of God. If we want to be used of God, then we better pay really close attention to the Word of God. Then we see, he says, all the earth is mine. God owns the whole earth. But he considered Israel special. Folks, God controls everything. And he's already proven this to them from the start of the Exodus. He's proven it to them. He's proven it to us. I mean, I don't know that we'd be here if he didn't, but besides that, I always think it's interesting that so much order in the universe, yet people can deny the existence of God. I can't figure that out. God controls everything. And listen very carefully, God values his people. Now here, God chose a specific people. And make no mistake, God still chooses his people today. That Holy Spirit comes to us before we can even think about being saved, because we don't want him until he comes to us. But those who trust Jesus Christ today are children of God and are special, just like the children of Israel were special to him. Even now, the children of Israel are still special to him. The nation of Israel is God's chosen nation. I don't know how you... I was going to say God's chosen people, and then I was going to say God's chosen nation. God chose them. How about that? God chose them. But you know something? When that Holy Spirit comes to you and says, hey, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. You know what that is? That's God choosing you. You do not choose Him. He chooses you. Make no mistake. Now, some could say you choose whether you're going to say yes or no. I don't think God puts it to you at gunpoint. But I do think He knows you're going to say yes. Or He might know you're going to say no, but He knows. But God chooses us. God chooses us. We are special to God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, Him being Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He wants and chooses us. just like he chose Israel. And look at the opportunities he was giving Israel. If you will obey me, this is what I will do. In verse 6, you will be unto me kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. A holy nation. That's what he wanted to make Israel. And one day I believe he's going to have that fulfilled. And that will be the day that the nation of Israel finally realizes who Jesus is and finally accepts them. Accepts him, Jesus. So we see the condition, and then we see the commitment. Verse 8 says, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They said they would obey God. They were quick to make a commitment to God, but how seriously did they take it? In the moment, they probably meant it. They probably did. Listen, God is speaking to you and God is telling you, hey, I want to use you if you'll obey me. Can you imagine the excitement? Well, yeah, anything you want, we'll do. How many people get excited and want to, you know, maybe they just got saved and they want so bad to worship, oh Lord, I'll do anything you want. And then God finally gets around to telling you what he wants. And we're like, God, are you sure that's what you want? Israel was quick to answer in the affirmative to God's call, but it would not be long. And I really wanted to get to that text today, but there was just too much text to get to. But it would not be long before Israel makes a golden calf and starts worshiping the golden calf. It won't be long. They were quick to say they would obey God. But that commitment throughout history, we see it wasn't so firm, was it? One day it will be, but not yet. Well, folks, how firm is our commitment to God? Now look, I am pointing my finger. You hear people say all the time, I'm not pointing my finger. I'm pointing my finger. But do you know why I'm pointing my finger? Because I need those three pointing back at me. And I'll tell you why I need three pointing back at me. One, I'm just as guilty. Two, I am held to a higher standard because I'm a man of God. And three, I need all the prayer I can get to keep commitments firm. Because it is so easy in the moment to tell God, I give up this sin. I want to do this right. And in the next moment, this one thing won't hurt. But it does, doesn't it? It does. How firm is our commitment? Then we have the caution in verse 9. The Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now, I'm not saying there's anything prophetic about that third day, but I do find it interesting that the third day is when Jesus rose from the dead, too. I'm not saying there's a connection, I just find it interesting. The Preacher's Commentary, Volume 2, says, though it is plain in the text, it is easy to miss the point that it is the presence or the glory of God, not the person that the people are to see. God was going to manifest himself in a thick cloud so that when they heard God speaking to Moses, they would forever believe. God's presence and his glory would be manifest, but not his person. In a later encounter between God and Moses, God tells Moses that he will make all my goodness pass before you, but you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. God was going to make an appearance, but only his glory. Because if they were to see God in his fullness, in his holiness, they would die. They were told to prepare for the Lord's coming. Now, isn't that interesting? Aren't we? Now I realize it's a different circumstance. They were told to prepare for the Lord's coming because God had a message for them. Folks, we're told to prepare for the Lord's coming because he's coming. And one of the ways that we prepare for his coming is to tell others the message he's already given us. Another thing we need to do is make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. He tells Moses, sanctify your people. Well, that means clean them up. We're supposed to sanctify ourselves. Now, Jesus has already cleaned us up. We trust Jesus Christ. Please don't get me wrong. But we have to set ourselves apart for God. And it sounds easy, but it's not. It's not. It's a daily struggle, and it is a struggle to set ourselves apart for God. There was always... Sorry. Throughout history, ever since Adam fell, there was always a distance between man and God. And the preacher's commentary says, be careful of any presentation of religion that offers a chummy God with whom we can come and go as we please. Folks, our God is holy, and he expects holiness. You don't hear that much from behind the pulpit anymore. What's holiness? One, I better be respecting God. Two, I better be obeying God. Am I going to be perfect? Nope. But I better be doing everything I can to get as close as possible. I remember people, they would ask the question. I'd hear preachers talking about it, and people ask the question. They don't always ask it like out loud, but in their actions they ask it. And this is the question they ask. How close to sin can I get without it being a sin? And I remember the preacher that was talking to us said, that's the wrong question. The question we need to be asking is, how far can we get from sin? As far, we need to get as far away as we can from sin. Next thing we see is the consecration, or the sanctification, you could say. Verse 12 says, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people. All right, before we get to the consecration, here's the caution. Okay? And here's more evidence of that distance we were just talking about between God and man. It says, thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up to the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. He says, don't approach me. Why? He just told him he wanted to choose them. Why not approach him? Because he's God, he's holy, and guess what? We are not. The Bible tells us that no sin whatsoever will enter heaven. That's why when God's children are raised from the dead, guess what they're given? A new body. Bye-bye sin. Because no sin can enter heaven. And God cannot deal with sin. Why do you think when Jesus took our sin upon Him, that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because God can't stand sin. And yet, I would be amiss not to say God still commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have the consecration in verse 14. Moses went down from the mount to the people and sanctified the people. He washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Now, folks, let me tell you something. If your boss comes over for dinner, you dress your best, you act your best, and you tell your kids they best behave. How much more the case if God came over? For those who trust Christ, God is here. He's already come over. He's here. Where is our fear and respect of Him today? Why does He not have our best? God, the Holy Spirit, is in the heart of every believer. He's already here. Why are we not more often sanctifying ourselves? Why are we not setting ourselves apart for God? Listen, I'm not saying every minute has to be spent. Oh, I'm not saying that. But our actions, our attitudes, and our words need to be different than the rest of the world. This was a solemn occasion, and he tells them, don't come at your wives. What he was telling them in simple terms, this isn't a time for fun and games. This is a serious time. And as believers, we need to note the solemn occasions. There's a time for fun, but there's also a time when playtime is over. And let me tell you one of those times. When we're dealing with representing God, playtime's over. Now, I'm not saying we can't have fun. I'm not saying that. But when it deals with people going to hell, that's serious business. I remember a few months back, we did a skit, my father and I, and we had fun with it. And we tried to be funny. We did. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'll tell you something. When we started talking about the gospel, when we really got to it, we stopped playing around. Because that's serious business. It was serious business when God was trying to connect with His people so that they could represent Him. And folks, when we go out there, we're representing God. If you're a Christian, if you know Christ, you're a representative of God. How seriously are we taking that? Verse 16 says, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Here is where God demonstrated His awesome power. Once again, He'd already done it before, but now He's doing it again. It is so important that we realize who we're dealing with when we're dealing with God. A few years ago, you had this group, and I don't know, they may still be around, but a group of people that look up at God and go, "Hey, Big Daddy. I don't know why. That ain't respect, guys. That ain't respect. That's not the way you talk to God. That may be the way you talk to your rich uncle. I don't know. But that ain't the way you talk to God. He ain't my big daddy. He's my father. And hallowed is His name." Hallowed, I should say, not hollowed. Sorry. Holy is what I'm trying to say. Let's skip to verse 3. No, let's skip to chapter 20. Because God had a message for the people, and we have looked at the conditions, the commitment, the caution, the consecration. But now let's look at the commandments. In chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 1, God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." Of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or made it holy. The first few verses here, verses 3 to 11, we see that God is telling man how to interact and how to behave toward God. Now, starting in verse 12, we're going to see he's going to talk about how man behaves toward other men. Verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they speak to Moses, but first I want us to see that these first two sections, God wanted to tell them, this is how you act towards me, and this is how you act towards each other. This is what you do, and this is what you do not do. He did it for their benefit, but he didn't stop there. Verse 18 says, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. They were terrified. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, or test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. In other words, you should be afraid. That's fine. You're okay. He just wants to make sure you're not going to sin. Verse 21. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked to you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, and all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you will not build of hewn stone. For if thou shalt lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt you go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now we've seen he's addressed man toward God. He's addressed man toward man. But now he addresses to them the proper worship of him. He says, you're not going to worship an idol. He said, you've already seen that I've addressed you. You've seen that I've spoken to you. You know it's coming from me, and this is my rules for you. Well, guys, we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. We don't have those altars anymore. Why? Because Jesus was that final sacrifice. But in the New Testament, we still see the proper worship demonstrated and prescribed. And there is still the right thing to do, and there's still how to react towards each other. How to react towards God and the proper way to worship. These are still here. But the commandments he gave to Israel. Let me tell you what our commandments are. They're a little bit harder to keep than these ten. Thou shalt love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And you should love your neighbor or your fellow man as yourself. Because on this hang all the rest of the laws and the prophets. I want to tell you something. We're going to spend our whole life trying to get that right, and we won't get it right until Jesus comes back. Then we'll get it right. God had important things to tell Israel. How seriously did they take it? Right now, it looks like they're taking it pretty seriously. In the future, though, it looks like that seriousness kind of faded. If you look ahead, when God speaks through His Word, the Bible, do we take it seriously? What God has to say is always important. God has a way He wants things done. So that means we got to do His plan, His way. It was that way in the Old Testament when Moses was at Sinai talking to the children of Israel, and it's that way today. Because God Himself doesn't change. He sometimes changes the way He deals with us, but even that has a characteristic that doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.